Hello. Many of you may know that Ian's had a couple of weeks off work, and so he's been doing stuff at home, but we also had 5 days down in the Catlins, which was a wonderful break. But it's great to be back and see you all again, because we love being with you. So fantastic to be here this morning. You may remember a few months ago now, many of you filled out a bit of a survey on your Christian life, the things that you find easy, things that you find hard. And one of the things that emerged was that many of us find it difficult to know how to read the Bible and how to apply it to our lives. And so what we're doing is today we're kicking off a bit of a mini series of over 4 weeks of sermons looking at the Bible, which will then take us up to the beginning of Advent. And so what I'm doing this morning is just doing an introduction to that. So it's fairly high level, but what I hope is that there will be some practical things for you to take away at the end. So we are going to be focusing on the first passage that Adrian read to us just now, and we're going to be asking that passage three questions. One, why should we read the Bible? Two, how do we read the Bible? And then number three, how do we know that we're reading it effectively? So why do we read the Bible? How do we read the Bible? And finally, how do we know that we're reading it effectively? So firstly, why do we read the Bible? As Paul is writing this letter of 2 Timothy, he is in prison. We don't know where exactly, but we do know that he was chained to the floor. He knows that his work is done, and he also knows that his life is nearly at an end. This is one of the last things that he writes. And in that time of thinking about the end, he wants to pass on some final words to his great friend and follower, Timothy. Now, there are two key themes in the book of 2 Timothy. The first one, and not surprisingly, given the circumstances Paul finds himself, the first theme is suffering, and the suffering that Paul is facing because of his Christian faith. And the second theme is a warning to Timothy about being careful about what to do when the many voices telling you different versions of truth come to you. So, Timothy, what do you do when there are many people standing up and saying, this is the way? And over again in the letter, Paul says things like this: there'll be many coming with persuasive but misleading words, people who have swerved from the truth, people who are full of senseless controversies, pointless, empty chatter, imposters who are deceived and deceive others. And the overall message of the letter to Timothy is, Timothy, there will be great hardship. You will face suffering. And there will be many people coming at you with different versions of truth, saying, this is the way, walk in it. But you need to stay strong, you need to endure, you need to run the course. And how is Timothy supposed to do that? How is he supposed to keep going in the face of such difficulty and confusion? And the answer is in the passage that we read today, by staying true to the truth of the Bible. It says in the Message, which is always has a great refreshing view of these verses, it says this: there is nothing like the written word of God for showing you the way. There is nothing like the written word of God for showing you the way. So you, like me, Timothy, you will face hardship. Like me, you will have many people coming at you, giving you different versions of the truth, but you must stay the course. There is nothing like the way, like the written word of God for showing you the way. And how relevant is this for today? It could have been written specially for us, because we too know many who today are facing great suffering and hardship, who are facing difficult medical conditions, who are facing broken relationships, disappointment, criticism, rejection, hardship. And in these post-truth days of fake news and controversies and mass communication, onslaught of different messages from every direction, we too are facing a multitude of people saying, this is the truth, this is the way, believe me, follow this. And Paul's message is again to us today. Stay the course. Stick to the path. Hold firm by keeping hold of the Bible. There is nothing like the written word of God for showing us the way. And the person who puts this into practice better than anyone else is Jesus himself, who, when he was facing great difficulty and hardship in the desert, great temptation, held firm to the written words of God. When Jesus was facing suffering and torture on the cross, he faced it by holding firm to the written words of God, showing him the way. And if that was important for Jesus to do, if that was important for Timothy to do, if that was important for Paul to be the last thing to talk about before he died, then this is important for us today. We are facing difficulties. We are facing many versions of truth. How do we make sure that we're not rocked? How do we hold firm to the course? By holding tight to the written word of God. There is nothing like the written word of God for showing us the way. So why do we read the Bible? So that we are not rocked by difficulty and deception. Secondly, the second question we're asking in this passage is, well, how? Okay, yes, it's important to hold firm to the Bible, but how do we read it? And what I hope is that after the service, when you're out in the gathering area or in your house churches this week, you will be perhaps taking the time to share different ways which you find helpful to read the Bible. So I'm not going to come down really so granular this morning, but I want to perhaps just paint a couple of principles for how we read the Bible. In verse 15 of the passage, if you've got it open today, Paul says to Timothy, the Holy Scriptures make you wise unto salvation through Christ Jesus. So the Scriptures make you wise for salvation through Christ Jesus. And it's really important that we note the grammar or the words of this sentence. It does not say the Holy Scriptures or the Bible make you wise. Full stop. But it says, the Bible makes you wise unto salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And we need to read the whole of that sentence, because in that sentence it gives us great wisdom about how we read the Bible. Because through that we read that we don't come to the Bible for information. It's not, we don't read it by coming to the Bible for good advice or a set of standards to live our lives, good tips for living a successful life. And it's really important that we understand how to read the Bible. We don't come to it for information and advice, but we read it because we are coming to it for wisdom for salvation in Christ Jesus. And in order to do that, we need to read every verse, every chapter, every book in the Bible as if it is pointing towards that salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So we don't read the Bible for information and good advice, but we read every verse, every chapter, every book as if it's pointing to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So it's not about how to live a good life, but it's how to know salvation through Christ Jesus. And let me give you an example of practically how we might do that. You all know the story of Joseph in the Old Testament. So Joseph was betrayed, killed, not killed, so he was betrayed and left for dead by his brothers. He then goes off to Egypt, and through a number of circumstances ends up being able to forgive his brothers and also be a means by which they have food during the famine. And it could be very easy, if we're reading that passage for information about how to live a life, a good life, or advice about living, successful living, we might read that as if it's saying, when you face betrayal and hardship, persevere, and it will work out all right, and you'll be able to forgive them in the end. You can forgive them in the end. And the trouble is, when we read it like that, as if we are the center of that passage, actually, that crushes us. Because, hands up, I could not forgive like Joseph did. I could not persevere through such hardship and imprisonment and betrayal. And if I just read it as a standard that I've got to live up to, that would crush me. But if I read that passage as if it is giving me wisdom for salvation through Christ Jesus, actually that changes everything. Because the passage, the story instead, is about Jesus who came as my Joseph and was betrayed for me, and who reconciled himself to me so that me, in my time of famine and lack, had provision. And if I read it like that, wow. Another example, an oldie but a goodie, is the story of David facing Goliath. You all remember the one, there's all the Israelites there, this giant comes out and they feel helpless to fight him. He's too big, he's too scary. And so David, this little unknown, comes and fights for them with his stones. And the way I was always taught that in Bible, in Sunday school, was, you know, you can do it. You can take on the giants in your life. Come on, you can do it. And actually, hands up, I can't. There are things in my life that I can't face on my own. They're too big. But when I read that story, not for information or advice about how to live, but for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus, well, what I see now is I see David as my Jesus. My better David, and me as one of the Israelites in fear who cannot face the giant in front of me, and Jesus comes on my behalf and rescues me. And wow, that changes everything. So one of the key principles for how we read the Bible is not reading it for information, but for wisdom unto salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Every verse, every chapter, every book, every story is all pointing to that salvation. So that's just a kind of a principle for how we read the Bible. So why do we read the Bible? So that we're not rocked by hardship or led astray by untruths. How do we read it? Well, we read it by not coming to it with information about how to lead a better life, but for wisdom unto salvation. Everything points to Jesus. Last question we're going to ask that passage from today is, okay, so we know it's important. We know a little bit about how to read it, but how do we know that it's being effective? How do we know if we're getting from it what we should? And I want to just really come in here to the second part of verse 16, where it says, Scripture, and this is a little bit of a different version to the one that we had, but in NIV it says, Scripture is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training. So Scripture is useful for teaching, reproof, correction, and training. And you may be sitting there thinking, Ruth, I'm okay with what you said so far, but actually, training, correction, reproof, that sounds a little bit too far. That sounds a bit intense. That sounds a little bit over the top. That's not what I signed up for. I don't know if you remember, in about the late 90s, early noughties, so if you're around at that time, do you remember there was a whole series of books called Chicken Soup for the Soul? Do you remember those? And it's spawned this mass marketing of multiple books about chicken soup for the soul. And I looked on Wikipedia yesterday to see, and there are so many different chicken soups for the soul. You wouldn't believe it. There's chicken soup for the busy, tired mum. Chicken soup for the, what was it? Chicken soup for the baseball player, I think. There's chicken soup for the soul, for everybody. But what they were was a series of short, little, heartwarming stories. Soup for the soul that warms you and makes you feel better about everything. And I wonder, if we are honest, if there's not a bit of all of us that comes to the Bible expecting it or wanting it to be a bit of chicken soup for the Christian soul. Some encouragement, something warm, something uplifting. Something that just strokes our insecurities and makes us feel better. And I think what we have to do is realize that Paul is saying in this passage today, if it's chicken soup for the Christian soul you're looking for, well, you'd probably be better off reading something else. Because the Bible is not about information. It's not about consolation, feeling better about yourself. It's about transformation. If we are reading the Bible as we should, then we will be changed. It's not for information, it's not for consolation. Ultimately, it is there for transformation. We should be allowing the Bible to correct us, to reprove us, to train us, to discipline us. If we are reading it properly, like Paul says we should, it's useful for making us changed, for transforming us, for making us more like Christ. And I think we need to have a bit more integrity, if I'm honest, and I'm speaking to myself here as well. We say, don't we, often, we believe in a God who is mighty, who is powerful, who is a miracle worker, who made all things, who is over all things. And yet at the same time, we then come to the Bible expecting it to just stroke us and make us feel a little bit better. And I think we need to realize that that just lacks integrity. If God is who he says he is, if he is who we say he is, then we should be coming to the Bible expecting it to transform us, because that is the kind of God we have, the one who is mighty, who is powerful, who has the power to change us and make us more like him. Paul says it is the wisdom and power of God. The Bible is for us, for training, for correction, and for challenge. And my question to you today is, are you up for it? Are you up for it? I just wanted to perhaps talk about how the Bible can change us. And again, we could spend a long time here, but I think I just wanted to give everybody just a practical insight into just something that I've read over the last couple of weeks that has been training and correcting me, so you can see how I find it works in my life. If you've been around church for a while, you may have heard or read Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I've always sort of read that book as a lovely pat on the back for me. You know, Ruth, you can do it, girl. You can do all things. You know, Christ is with you and he's strengthening you and you can do it. And Ian and I were reading it about a week or so ago, and I just suddenly saw it for the first time. When Paul is talking about I can do all things, actually he's saying I can be in great plenty, and then I can also be in great hardship and suffering. I can have lots to eat, and yet I can also then be in great, great want. But I can do all of that. I can be content through all of that through Christ who strengthens me. And you may already be there and way steps away ahead of me, but for me it was just a real moment of correction, because I suddenly realized actually what I'm having to do here is realize that I can face a difficult situation, I can face hardship, I can be in times of want, not through my own strength, but through Christ who strengthens me. And I can be content through difficult situations. And yeah, that might sound really small, but actually it's been a method and a means of training and correcting me. And as I've been thinking about that and coming back to it over the past couple of weeks ago, it's really been helpful. So that's just a bit of an example about how we can be corrected and trained by the Bible if we want to be. If we want it just to say what we already believe and think to be true, well, that's something else. So let's, as we come to land, let's just sort of follow the breadcrumbs of where we have journeyed this morning. Why do we read the Bible? Well, so that we are not rocked by hardship or the multitude of voices that come our way. How do we read it? Not for information, but coming to it as if it carries the words of God. And by realizing that every verse points to Jesus and the way that he will save us from having to live up to standards that we cannot live on our own. How do we know that we're reading it properly? Because if we come to it not for information or consolation, but as we choose to be corrected and trained by it, there is transformation in his name and by his grace. Amen.